This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا.
الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Tidings Podcast, Alhamdulillah. Today we have a special guest with us, Sheikh Asim Al-Hakim. I don't think he needs much of an introduction, but just to keep on TV and also ask Zad, MashaAllah, on YouTube, Alhamdulillah, he connects with them with Q&A and also in Saudi for many years. So we're blessed to have you. May Allah bless you. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah. Getting old, but doing well. Ya Rabbi lak alhamd.
Alhamdulillah. You're not looking old. Allahumma barik. MashaAllah, you're looking well. Alhamdulillah.
Tell my wife that.
Alhamdulillah. So today's topic is a very important topic, something that's been requested quite a lot. And it's about dealing with the pressures of life. So we see today in society, especially in the West, but I'm sure all over the world, there's many, many pressures to the Muslim, subhanAllah, in terms of keeping firm to the deen and just generally family, life, lots of things, alhamdulillah. So we wanted to ask you, in general, what should be the outlook of Muslims when dealing with pressures and difficulties and things like that? That's the first question, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاكم الله خير for hosting me for this iPod iCast iPipe I don't know what you guys call it
Glad Tidings Podcast
I was born in the last century, so I'm pretty old for these things. Alhamdulillah, I'm not from the new generation, so do excuse me. Akhi, I conduct a lot of counseling sessions for the Muslims. And this is something I undertook, yani alhamdulillah. And the funny thing is, whenever I ask people to list for me the six pillars of Iman, 99.99% they would say, oh, namaz, fasting. Wait. These are the five pillars of Islam. I'm talking about the six pillars of Iman. And when I do this, people look at me as if I just landed on Mars. So, duh.
SubhanAllah.
Never heard of it. And this is due to our distance from our religion. And if you ask anyone on the streets, whether you're in Birmingham, London, Leicester, Manchester, whatever, about Islam, they would give you a blank check that, of course, we know everything about Islam. We don't need you, old geezer, to come and teach us about Islam. We know everything about Islam. If you ask them about the basics, you land on deaf ears. If you ask them about purity, zero. If you ask them about prayer, zero. Zakat, zero. Marriage, divorce, custody, zero, zero, zero. Then what do you know about Islam? Oh, we read the Quran. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. The shortest surah in the Quran, the one you recite 100 times a day, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ. What does it mean? I'm not a scholar. Ya akhi, you don't have to be a scholar. How many surahs do you memorize? Well, actually, this surah and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. SubhanAllah. So, we are light years away from our religion. But we are defiant. We don't confess. And you'll never learn your religion if you keep on being arrogant and defiant. No, he's a Wahhabi. I'm not going to learn from him. Oh, no, he's from Saudi. I'm not going to learn from him. He's black. He's white. He's yellow. He's revert. He's this. Okay, akhi, who are you going to learn from? Me. Okay, let's see what you have. Zero. So coming back to your question, this was just an introduction to break the ice. You guys are freezing. Today is 26 degrees in Saudi Arabia. And it's 8 o'clock in the evening. The air conditioner is on. My fan is on. And I'm perspiring, but alhamdulillah. And the guy says, Salahuddin, are you cold? Are you kidding me? You guys live in a freezer. Anyhow, so coming back to your question. Akhi, fact number one. Each and every Muslim should have this as at the back of his head, in his subconscious, wherever he goes. There is not a single human being on earth, neither in the past nor in the future, who's not tested. Oh, Sheikh, come on. Yes. You mean to tell me Elon Musk is tested? Bill Gates is tested? Yes. Sheikh, they have trillions and billions of dollars. How are they tested? Akhi, they are the most miserable people on earth.
SubhanAllah.
They have billions. How many divorce cases have they gone through? Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates. Half of their wealth is gone. This is enough to give them a heart attack. Despite the depression, the drugs, Elon Musk is known to have a joint in his hand 24/7. The guy is stoned all the time. But they're tested. So whether you're rich or poor, whether you're healthy or sick, whether you come from this country or that, every single individual is being tested. The fun part is everyone is tested according to how Allah Azza wa Jal wills it. So you guys in UK, oh, Sheikh, I have a lot of sessions, counseling sessions with UK residents, and they come to me in the 5-10 minutes, the first 5-10 minutes, complaining of this and that and this and that. Okay, finished? You vented? They said, yes. I said, okay. MashaAllah, you live in the UK. You're even happier on average than the people in the US who are living the American dream. You guys have benefits. You even get diaper benefits for your children. Give me a break. Come on, guys. What is this? If you're unemployed, I'm getting benefits for unemployment. And if you don't have a house, they give you a house in the projects or whatever. I don't know if they still do that. But again, how many meals do you have? Three? No, Sheikh, we have five because we have to reduce the amount of intake of calories. You know, we have to take care of our bodies and weight. What you guys are talking about? What about your transportation? Oh, the best busing services in the world. They come right on the spot. Railways, underground, schooling. How much do you pay? Oh, it's free, Sheikh. But, you know, we have student loans for uni. NHS, we have this, we have that. Okay, what are you suffering from? Oh, Sheikh, Allah has tested me with something I can't tolerate. What? I can't go to the gym. All gyms are mixed, Sheikh. What can I do? I can't work out. Are you crazy? They come and say, I have a problem with my spouse. What's his problem? He doesn't send me love messages. Does he provide for you? Yes. Does he put a roof on your head? Yes. Food on the table? Yes. He ever physically or verbally abuse you? Never, Sheikh. What are you doing? So everyone is tested. But people think that their test is the worst. Akhi, there are people in hospitals. If you have a test, go and check those who have ovarian cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, blood cancer. Go and check those who were in a car accident, paralyzed neck down. Go and check with people who had contracted. I don't know if the word is right or not. My English is poor. Herpes. They got herpes when they're young and they had nothing to do, never ever kissed a girl or a boy. It just happened since they were 7 years of age and they're now in their mid-30s having oral herpes. And the guy says, Sheikh, what can I do? Oh, this is your test from Allah. But imagine such tests when you come and propose to people and they reject you. Oh, no, 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 no. I know you. I saw you in Soho. Or wasn't that you? I don't know. Anyhow, so everyone is tested. But go to Yemen. Go to Syria. People are dying like flies. And you think you're tested? Go to the Rohingya. Killed, decapitated, playing with their children's heads as football just because they're Muslims. Go to the ogre in China, 1 million in captivity. For what? Just saying La ilaha illallah. Force you to drink alcohol during the month of Ramadan, take your hijab, shave your beard, don't pray. What are you going to do? And, oh, I'm tested. So every single individual is tested. And rarely those would pass. Allah says in Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَيَّقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be let alone to say, oh, I believe, I'm a Muslim, without them being tested? Nay, we have tested those before them. And we shall test them so that it would be apparent who is saying the truth and who is lying. So rule number one, every single one is being tested. Rule number two, the test you are undergoing was something that falls under the six pillars of Iman. Just to refresh your memory, I know you guys know it by heart and our listeners as well. Anyhow, first of all, to believe in Allah, to believe in the day of judgment, to believe in the angels, to believe in the messengers, to believe in the scriptures, and to believe in the divine decree, whether good or bad. Divine decree is one of the things that if you have it, you're the man. What is it, Sheikh? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah first created the pen, Allah told the pen, write. And the pen said, oh Allah, what should I write? Allah said, write the decree, the predestiny that is going to happen from now till the day of judgment. So the pen started writing in the preserved tablet that no one can see except Allah. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, this incident of writing took place 50,000 years before Allah created the whole universe. Whoa. In the beginning, there was Allah and there was nothing with him. Allah is the first without a beginning, and he's the last without an end. Subhanahu Azza wa Jal. But we don't know Allah. So everything is written down. This means that if I decided to raise my left hand, this was written 50,000 years ago. This is written. Putting it down, this is written. No one knows what was written except Allah Azza wa Jal. This means that when we are under pressure, we have to always have this at the back of our minds that we're being tested. What are you going to do? Because the results will be your results on the day of judgment. The test, did you pass or fail? So my son died. Alhamdulillah, I don't have sons, by the way. They're all girls. So one of my sons died. I have one of two choices in life. Number one, either to bang my head in the wall, to whine and weep and cry and complain, why me? Why not? Well, I could have done this. I could have done that. And keep on complaining and objecting. The result, I failed the test. I will be sinful. My child will not come back to life. Choice number two. I say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah has taken what he has given, and I'm content with what Allah has decreed upon me. Yes, I'm sad, I may weep, but I never complain, I never object. What will happen? Number one, I'm rewarded. Number two, Allah will substitute me with something better. Number three, my child will not come back to life still. So pressure is there for everyone. It's a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Fact number three, why does Allah test us? Doesn't he know everything? Can't he change things? Can't he make me rich? Can't he make me healthy? Can't he make me this and that? Yes. But who are you to question Allah? Allah owns everything in this universe, a well-known fact. If he decided, if he willed that everybody in this universe go to hell, he tossed them in hell. They burn in hell. Can anybody say, objection, Your Honor? I'd like to go to The Hague and escalate this with the International Criminal Court. I'd like to complain to the Security Council. Hey, sit down and relax. Loosen up your belt. Let your hair down. Take off your shoes. You ladies also can do that. So what are you going to do? Nothing. So Allah owns everything. Fact number one, Allah is fair and just. Allah Azza wa Jal would never ever transgress or do anything that is unfair. Fact number three, Allah is wise. Allah is knowledgeable. So he does the very best for us. Now, when we come to look at all of this, when we compare our calamity, our pressure to others, we find that we have nothing to worry about. And this is a sign of a true believer. Allah says in Surah At-Talaq, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah would guide his heart. Imam Mujahid says in the tafsir, it is revealed concerning someone who is tested, and his heart is content because he knows it's from Allah. That's it. And wallahi, وَبِاللَّهِ وَتَاللَّهِ. These are the three types of swearing by Allah's name, with the three letters preceding his name. Ba, ta, wa. Wallahi, billahi, tallahi. So I'm swearing and I'm emphasizing my oath that the happiest man on earth is someone who's content with whatever happens to him. In the midst of a car accident. It's my new 2023 car. What are you doing? You smashed the headlights. You did this. The guy comes out from the car. Alhamdulillah. Nobody's hurt. Alhamdulillah. Akhi, aren't you angry for what happened to your car? No. It could have been worse. I could have injured someone. I could have banged my head in the steering wheel and went into a coma. The car could have been totally wasted. Alhamdulillah, akhi. Nothing happened. Content. So coming back to your question, I guys, I know you fell asleep while talking.
I
can bore myself to death sometimes. That's why. If you have pressure, always be content that it was preordained by Allah. Always acknowledge that it's a test. And whatever you do is the result. And finally, always acknowledge that there are way, way worse people who are being tested than you.
SubhanAllah. Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh. Wallahi, it was very insightful, very informative. And again, we've just learned a lot, mashallah. In regards to something that you said earlier about stress, I have a question myself, and that is, again, we didn't experience you before, but I'm a counselor as well myself by profession. And I've dealt with a lot of people in the past and currently as well. And a lot of people, they complain about stress, but there are those that complain about just the smallest of things and they call it depression. So what I would like, inshallah ta'ala, barakallahu fikum, is for you to explain to the viewers the difference between stress and depression. Barakallahu fikum.
Akhi, I've never taken a course in psychology, so don't corner me. I am a
counselor. No, Islamically.
Okay. I'm a counselor in the sense that people come to me due to two, three reasons. One, my Islamic knowledge. Two, my age. So I am able to help people by opening their eyes to see how Shaytan is messing up with their heads. And secondly, to give them wise advice coming from an old man with, alhamdulillah, experience in life. So when it comes to stress is something, in my point of view, it is something that no one can escape. It's like anger. So when the Prophet was approached by a man and he said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, give me advice." So the Prophet said, "Don't become angry." The man said, "Give me more." "Don't become angry. Don't become angry. Don't become angry." Scholar said, "If you don't become angry, you're a wimp. So someone comes and gropes your wife, excuse my French, and you say, 'Oh, I'm not going to become angry.' You're not a man. So then what does the Prophet mean?" The Prophet means, alayhi salam, that each and every individual must have anger in him, but you must control the consequences of your anger. If you see sin in front of you, you have to be angry. If someone attacks you, without becoming angry, you will never defend yourself. This is my right cheek, take my left cheek. Akhi, we're out of cheeks. The Muslims have been hit right, left, and center. We're out of cheeks. So likewise, stress. Everyone is entitled to be stressed. Even the companions. Abu Bakr was with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah be pleased with him, in the cave, hiding from the idol worshippers who were pursuing them. And Abu Bakr was so stressed. He said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, if one of them looked underneath his feet, he would have seen us." That is stress, man. I'm stressed, man. And the Prophet said, "Abu Bakr, what do you think of two? Their third is Allah Azza wa Jal."
SubhanAllah.
Now it was de-stressed, khalas. Abu Bakr had no stress anymore. Once he heard these words of comfort, "Allah is with you, enough, khalas, that's it. I'm not going to care anymore." Depression is a different story. Depression is a feeling or a combination of feelings of sadness, of loss, of worries about the past more likely than the present, the future, where stress is something about the present and the future. So in a sense, and I just came up with this, don't quote me. I'm improvising. Whenever I'm lost, I just throw big words and people are lost. Oh, mashallah, words of wisdom. So this is the difference between al-gham wal-ham. Al-ham is something that you carry because of something that might be coming. So you're worried, how am I going to pay the rent next month? I don't have enough money. This is ham. Al-gham is of something that had that was done in the past. Oh, I did this, I did that. How can I rectify it? Akhi, I divorced my wife. What have I done? I've destroyed my house. What are my children going to do? So it's a combination. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Who cares? You're not paying me for this, so sue me. We come back to the issue of stress. Everybody's stressed. But this is something that can go away easily. You know, when I was your age, 30, 40 years ago, I had a lot of stress at work. But how I used to take the stress out, oh, Sheikh, by night prayer, by reciting the Quran. No, I wasn't that religious. I used to go to the gym, play an hour and a half of squash, and beat the heck out of this ball until it screamed its head off. I went home, took a shower. I'm a fresh person. No stress. I'm not thinking of any of what's coming and what's going and what happened. I'm an easygoing guy. Next morning, I deal with my students at school, with the principal, with the other colleagues. I'm mellow. I'm chilling. So this is one of the way of taking stress away. Of course, if you engage in reading the Quran, teaching ilm, and contemplating on things, you will feel much better. Now, depression is due to a number of reasons. It can be a mental illness. And we make the mistake of saying, you have depression? You're not a believer. Your iman is weak. No. You're totally out of it. Because depression could come, the duration is related to iman. Wasn't the Prophet ﷺ depressed when people did not accept his call? Yes, but was he on Prozac? No. This is definitely not the type of depression we're talking about. This depression is a positive one. It's for the sake of Allah. He's rewarded for it. This is why Allah counseled him, or let me rephrase that, consoled him with verses of the Quran. Don't put yourself at harm's way. Don't kill yourself over them. Don't feel sad and depressed because of them. Guidance in the hands of Allah. So Allah is comforting him. And that's why it was a slight moment in time. Unlike people saying, oh, I've been depressed for like 7 years. I've tried everything. No, this is an illness. Maybe you need to consult a Muslim psychiatrist, not someone who would put you on medication, on uppers or downers, and make you addicted to it. And now with the medical marijuana, whoo, feels good, man. I'm really depressed. No, you have to check it with a real practicing Muslim doctor who would see whether this is something clinical that can be solved with drugs, or it's just venting and redirecting your process of thinking. And Allah knows best.
I remember, Sheikh, that just to go back earlier to the point that you mentioned, alhamdulillah, I was blessed to go to Bangladesh to visit the Rohingya camps. And the point that you made is so powerful. These kids, they've seen the most tormenting things that we can't even imagine. When you go speak to them, they're still smiling, still happy, they're still reciting Quran. You ask them about the situation, they reply with alhamdulillah, because they have tawheed, they have Islam.
Mashallah.
And even the elders, subhanallah, they were very grateful that we were there and giving whatever we could give. But then you go fly to the UK and there's kids that don't have iPads and they're crying, subhanallah. So it's a massive, massive contradiction between it. Subhanallah. But just going back to the point, Sheikh, alhamdulillah, we deal with a lot of youth in our town, in our cities. And I see a lot of them, they come, you know, they have social media and they have tuition and school and they have lots of things going on in their life. And you ask them, are they happy? And a lot of them, they say they're depressed. And although like, compared to everything else, you know, as we've mentioned already, in reality, it's nothing compared to what other people are going through. But what would you say to that youngster, that youth that feels like they're depressed, feels that, you know, they can't handle, they're always anxious? What would you say to that youth?
Ah, akhi, this is a lot of issues intermingled together. Mm. It's not one size that fits all. Mm. There is no magical pill. Why is he depressed? Because it started from his parents. His parents are always nagging and bickering and complaining. The father is 24/7 complaining of the heating bill. The gas bill, it's crazy. The electricity bill, the gas prices, inflation. The mother is always complaining of her in-laws. Your mother said this, your sisters did that, and especially if they live in a joint family, and the food is this and that, and they're fighting and complaining. This cascades down to the children.
Mm.
What did you raise your children upon? Upon namaz, upon fasting. We are a Muslim family, Sheikh, so mashallah. Did you ever take a snapshot of how you deal with your children the moment you enter your home? I don't understand, Sheikh. Akhi, you come frustrated from work for not getting the raise, for the harassment you're facing from non-Muslim colleagues, from this, from that, from so many factors, so many things on your plate. However, the moment you enter the house, the boys are fighting, the girls are bickering, they're running after one another, shouting everywhere. What is the first thing you do? Angrily, what are you doing? Why are you shouting and fighting? Oh, daddy, she did this, he did that. Oh, da, da, da. They're trying to seek your judgment. What do you say? Do you pray namaz? Go and pray namaz. So what is the punishment in their heads? Salah. Did you memorize your page of the Quran? You're always like this. You're always dumb. You never pay attention. Allah will not put you in hell, in paradise. Well, I don't know. Allah Azza wa Jal will not make you an imam of the Muslims. You retard. What is this? So the boy, instead of being encouraged, instead of being brought up to feel proud of his religion, he's being put down, suppressed. What do you expect him to be? So whenever he wants to have, daddy, this happened at school. Don't you have friends outside to play? Take the bicycle and go. Here's $5. Go and buy some popsicles or ice cream. So they don't want to communicate with the children. But they have lots of them. How many? I have 6. Oh, mashallah. I have 8. Oh, you're good. Why are you having so many kids? Do you love kids? Nah, but the benefits we get, they pay the bills. I can send money to my family back home. I can do that. Subhanallah. So when you come and say to me, the kids are depressed, it's not that. It is the environment they're living in. And it's not only UK. Come to Saudi. I live in Saudi. I live an hour drive from Mecca. Do you think we're any better? No. Rarely you will find children in a good mood. My grandchildren are in international schools, meaning that they study in English. I spoke to their parents. What are you guys doing? They can't even recite a page of the Quran correctly. They can't even order in Arabic. So I'd like 2 Big Mac and 1 fish fillet, mashallah, with an accent. Wow, so sophisticated. What is this? And all what they know is Freeze or Disney or whatever. This is what they see, what they have in their lives. How would you like them to be guided? Look at them when they pray. Finished. MashaAllah, from 0 to 100, are you a Porsche 911 Turbo S? This is not a prayer that you have performed. And the kid and the parents said, it's okay. They prayed. They prayed, it seems, but there is no relation between prayer and what they had performed. So it's a whole package deal that we need to present. As you clearly mentioned, all our children, grandchildren. One of my grandchildren is like 3 years of age, and he's addicted to the iPad. And he does this, oh, mashallah, this magical finger, this. I don't know how they act, and they know the password of the network, and they know when to log from the Wi-Fi into the 5G, and what this, mashallah, tabarakallah. And then you expect them to not be depressed? Excuse me. Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. Those who believe and their hearts find tranquility and comfort in remembering Allah, verily in remembering Allah, the hearts are comforted. So without this, you'll have stress, you'll have depression, you'll have anxiety, you'll have panic attacks, unless you find something to run away from that. And you have two alternatives. One, going back to the deen, going back to the sharia, to the Quran. And this is very difficult, unfortunately, to some, even boring. Two, which is the easy way out, movies, songs, soap operas, TV, social media, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. And you find people addicted to it. But this addiction is temporarily. I have a friend who was addicted to watching movies in his teens. He says, I used to watch like 4 or 5 movies a day. And after every movie of an hour and a half, I was so happy, you know, eating popcorn and having a good time, racing cars and shooting guns. And after the movie's finished, I feel depressed. I go to my mom and I say, Mom, I'm depressed. I'm bored. She says, Subhanallah, do you see on my forehead, I'm bored? Every time you see me, you say the same words. He said, I could not fill the emptiness in my soul except by seeing another movie and a third movie. So nowadays, it's not movies. It's YouTube. It's TikTok. And it's addiction. And the more you go higher, you want something more serious, more deep. So in the beginning, it was Tom and Jerry. It was Bugs Bunny, ha ha ha, children laugh, fly. Few years later, they want something more serious. So they have manga, the Japanese, and this is levels. So now they want more blood, more violence, and then a little bit of nudity. Now they're in teens, okay, nudity is not a little bit appropriate. I'd like something even deeper. Can we have like double X, triple X? Then they want to see the movies. And the movies, they categorize it into PG, rated R, rated X. So now everybody goes to rated X. And then you don't worry, why are they depressed? What do you expect? So, Akhi, it's a full package deal. I don't want you to be depressed by what I'm saying. But again, this is an eye-opener. We have to realize our present, what's happening to our kids. How much time are we investing? Are we just preaching them? Okay, kids, line up. I'm going to give you a sermon for half an hour. Blah, 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 blah. Allah says, the Prophet says, the beautiful names of Allah, aqidah, issues, blah, blah, and the guy's sitting. Did you benefit? Yes, daddy. Halas, you can go. It doesn't happen this way. They hear it in the masjid. They hear it at class. They hear it in the dars. It doesn't happen. You have to communicate. Where is your quality time? Let them speak rather than you. Let them tell you about incidents that happened at school. And don't you dare, the moment they tell you, A'udhu billah, are you a kafir? What is this? He will never tell you anything again. Try to accommodate them, incubate them. Take what they have and redirect them with love, compassion. Is it easy? Of course not. It's one of the most difficult things in life. And it makes you, your blood pressure go, probably become diabetic, and lots of illnesses would occur. And this is why men die before women, because they suffer more. Women are, you know, chilling most likely. They have no worries. Men are, the rent, the house, jobs, taking care of the kids, them getting married, trying to please the missus, the in-laws, the family. The girl sits home. All what she cares about is her husband and the children. Nothing much on her plate. But I don't want feminists to come. Oh, you male chauvinist pig. I've been used to be called the male chauvinist pig. So, alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, I was saying alhamdulillah just in agreement with you, by the way. I don't know how much time you got left, Sheikh, and we don't want to take up too much of your time. But I do have a question for you. And that's in regards to the actual topic of this whole podcast, dealing with the stresses of life. I wanted to ask you that. How important is time management for the Muslim in order to overcome stress and depression, etc., and all these other things that we've talked about?
One of the main reasons for stress is the lack of time management. Now, if I don't manage my time, what would I spend my time in? Nonsense. So my essence in life is time. You know, the calendar pages you take, I don't know, this is too primitive. We have it in Arabia, maybe in the UK, you just this electronic. You guys are so rich and so wealthy. And then like and every time you take one page of the calendar, and Al-Hasan al-Basri says, oh, son of Adam, this is yours. This is your life. Every page you take is one day gone from your life. So when you have lack of appreciation of your time and life, which will be the first thing you'll be questioned about in your grave, and your life, your youth, your time, if you fail in utilizing it, what will you fill your time with? You will kill time. Subhanallah, what did time do to be killed? So you find people playing on their PS4, PlayStation 4, if you don't know. You know, say, I'm sophisticated, I know these things. So you're playing on your PS4. How long? 6 hours, 7 hours. A'udhu billah. Are you serious? I said, yeah, I don't have nothing. Sheikh, I'm just chilling with the boys. We like to play Fortnite. We like to play this game and that game online, and we do this. And your time is wasted. What about you? Oh, I waste my time just checking social media platforms. I write on Twitter. I write on Facebook. I write on Snapchat. I follow many Instagram celebrities. I'm not going to talk about halal, haram. You know what I'm talking about. And TikTok. TikTok is like 10, 15 seconds. What did you gain? Someone says to me, Sheikh, did you watch the soccer game? You guys call it football. I said, no, I never watched any game. Oh, Sheikh, why? Don't you like football? I said, no, I don't like football. Well, I like sports. I'm a sportsman, by the way. I've been doing sports for the past 45 years with the grace of Allah and still doing it. I have trophies in squash. Awesome. I have medals in table tennis.
Table tennis, yeah.
I give you a handicap any time of the day.
I mean, Sheikh, we play table tennis all the time in our community center. So, inshallah, one day we definitely have to.
Any day. Handicap, whenever you want.
I'm college champ, so, by the way, just to let you know. So,
yeah. Habibi, this is psychological warfare. You won't last for 1 minute in front of me.
Okay, inshallah.
I play sports. I hit the gym 3 to 4 times a week. I do weights and bodybuilding. You think I'm a bit chubby. Alhamdulillah, oh, that's good for me. I don't want anybody to see me. But when you tell me that, do you watch squash games? I said, no. That's a waste of time. Do you watch table tennis? No. I love it. But if I want to practice it, I go and sweat and change 2 to 3 t-shirts filled with sweat because of the exercise. That is beneficial. But to sit on my back, whatever, and just watch 11 or 22 men run after a ball, as I usually say on Twitter, buy each one a ball and send them home. Why this? This is not beneficial. The Prophet used to seek, alayhi salatu wasalam, refuge in Allah from knowledge that is not beneficial. You're wasting your life. So definitely, it's like a cup. It's like a mug. You have the right to fill it with lager, and you can fill it with orange juice or water. Your heart is the same. You can utilize your time in the same fashion. Wallahi, the more you fill your time with beneficial things, with teaching people beneficial things, with learning, with acquiring more knowledge, you feel that time runs and there's nothing to kill. And you wish that you had another 5 hours in every 24 hours a day. But when you don't utilize your time, the day seems to be so long. Some of them even kill themselves, commit suicide. Why? I'm too bored, man. I don't have a purpose in life. So I don't know if this relates to your question, or I use big words to divert you from your
That was very, very beneficial. Barakallahu feekum. Sheikh, is it okay to, I don't know what your time is looking like, but I think we have like one or two questions left, and then just to kind of
end it. One or two, okay? No problem. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Inshallah. I was going to ask Sheikh, is there any particular ayah or hadith that you may find solace in, or, you know, even for the listeners as well, if they are going through a stressful period or anything like that, anything that they can turn to, or yourself that you turn to personally?
Wallahi, akhi, I find one of the best and beautiful, most beautiful ayahs in the Quran. When you recall what had happened to Prophet Yunus, Jonas, when he was swallowed by the whale. You just imagine what goes into his mind. The guy was in a ship, peace be upon him, and they said, we have to lose weight because otherwise the ship will sink and we'll all die. So they started throwing valuable things, and then still, it's a storm, it's dangerous. So they said, we have to throw someone overboard. And his name was always Drone. So he accepted that. And he was swollen by the whale. And for 3 days and three nights, he was in the belly of the whale. Now, he's a prophet. Of course, he knows Allah is going to take care of him. But come on, and he, with all due respect, you have to be frightened. You have to be stressed. You have to be 100% worried. What was his dua? La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu mina zalimin. Very short, easy to understand and memorize. And I think in the subcontinent, they call it kalima sharifa or kalima tayyiba. I don't know, I may be mistaken. There is no God worthy of being worshipped except you. Glory be to you. I confess I was among the wrongdoers. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, this dua, this supplication, no one ever says it in times of depression or worries except Allah would relieve him from whatever he's feeling. Wow. Now, the funny thing is, the Prophet called it dua. And in our minds, we think that dua is, oh Allah, give me, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, grant me, oh Allah, cure my illness, oh Allah, I'm asking things. But this is not the case. Dua is divided into two types. One, dua uthana. It's the dua of complimenting and praising Allah. Example, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the best of dua is La ilaha illallah. There's no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. I didn't ask for anything. Yes, you don't have to. You just compliment Allah, praise Allah, glorify Allah. This is dua. The second type of dua is dua al-mas'ala, when you ask for something. So the most honorable one is the first one, which Prophet Yunus said, He did not say, oh Allah, free me. Oh Allah, set me free. Oh Allah, protect me. He just acknowledged the oneness of Allah, glorified Allah, and confessed of his wrongdoing. So Allah Azza wa Jal saved him. So believe me, whenever you're in distress, wherever you are depressed or feeling that life is difficult and everything is attacking you from all directions, always have your confidence in Allah. Yeah. Allah has trillions of creations other than us. We have only one Allah. So he never turns us back. He never turns us down. He always listens and responds to us. Say la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Of course, there is no might or power other than Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And also the dua that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam and taught Asma bint Umays, if I'm not mistaken, to say, Allahu Allahu Rabbi wa la ushriku bihi ahada or ushriku bihi shay'a. Allah, Allah is my Lord and I don't associate others with him. Khalas, this puts a lot of tranquility and peace in your heart, but there is no God except him. So I have no fear. He'll take care of me. And Allah knows best.
Subhanallah.
Barakallahu fi.
Sheikh, jazakumullah khairah. Wallahi, jazakumullah khairah. We just, obviously, we've come kind of towards the end of our podcast. We don't want to take up too much of your time, like I keep saying. Just obviously, firstly, we just want to say a big jazakumullah khairah. I've said it three times already. may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and your family the highest place in paradise. Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la. And the last thing that we normally do habitually is our ada to do this, is to ask our guest speaker to give the viewers some glad tidings in terms of like nasiha. Just finish on some glad tidings, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair.
Well, there are so many glad tidings, despite what people think. Lots and lots and lots of Muslims are so pessimistic, so negative. Look what's happening in Saudi Arabia. Look what's happening in Mecca. Look what's happening in Egypt. Look what's happening in Pakistan. Look what's happening everywhere. The Muslims are divided. The Muslims are this. Akhi, you're not seeing anything. Come to Saudi Arabia. Come and see the Muslims filling up the masjids. The Muslims being united, the Muslims feeding the poor during the month of Ramadan, in the streets, giving dates and water and food. Come and see the Muslims in their hijab, in their beard, in their treating one another with all courtesy and generosity. And this is everywhere. Go to Indonesia. They don't speak a single word of Arabic. The moment they see you and they acknowledge you're a Muslim, they invite you to the very little they have. You have to share with them the food. Go to Bangladesh. The amount of people coming asking me questions on Ask Zad from Bangladesh is mind-blowing. Who am I? Nobody. Yet they come and tune in to Zad and ask questions. The amount of emails I'm getting. People are rising. The Muslims are rising. And the beautiful thing, it's not violent. It's with knowledge. It's with wisdom. And people are spreading the word in a very beautiful way. Look at the events in FIFA, in Qatar. Beautiful things have happened, da'wah-wise. Many, many things have been positively introduced to the non-Muslims. In the masjids, in the kandura, the way that they dressed, and the gifts. And so many people are getting to know Islam in a positive way. The glad tidings. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who sent us this beautiful religion. He's the one who pledged upon himself to preserve it. And he's the one who pledged that it would prevail, whether they like it or not. So whether you come on board or not, nobody cares. It's your head that will count. And you're the one who will lose. It's exactly like the Ark of Noah. Peace be upon him. The Ark of Nuh. If you embark on it, you will be saved from the flood. If you don't, you'll sink and drown and die like everyone else. So may Allah Azza wa Jal makes us among those who embark the Ark of Sunnah and of the authentic Aqeedah and of the Quran and abide by it with wisdom and knowledge, and to call the people with fair preaching until the day we meet him, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best.
Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Well, end of that. May Allah bless you for your time, Sheikh. And inshallah, Ameen. We'll see you again soon. And we still got the table tennis game, inshallah,
yeah.
to play as well.
Definitely.
Akhi, don't have high hopes. It will all be in vain. We look at the player and we can tell by the way he speaks and acts, and it's hopeless. Akhi. It's hopeless.
But the thing is, Sheikh, remember you said that you can't see us properly.
I don't have to. I can sense you.
This is
one of the powers of the Jedi, of the
Muslims.
Jazakumullah khair for having me, and may Allah Azza wa Jal make all your efforts sincere for His sake.
Ameen.
And may Allah Azza wa Jal always rectify our intentions, because people's praise or people's criticism doesn't count a thing. All what counts is with what is with Allah Azza wa Jal. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.
Alhamdulillah. You've just watched a podcast by Mubashirun called the Glad Tidings Podcast. Our aim is to spread the da'wah as far as possible and to connect the general Muslims with the people of knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. In order to do this, we need you guys to subscribe, like, and share, inshallah. Also, follow us on Instagram through the links in the bio. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward each and every one of you. Jazakumullahu khairah.